Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode 49 of The School for Dumb Women, the podcast where we explain the simple things you should know about but probably don't, using a unique tool called the internet. I'm your host woman, Love Island reject Hannah Varrell. I applied for Cambridge too, but I'm just not a lucky woman. With me is Big Brother fanatic Alexandra Addo.
I've never seen the TV show, but I'm just desperate to be an older sibling.
And naked attraction body double Caroline O'Donoghue.
I fill in for the men when they get nervous, Hannah.
Well, I can confirm that there will be no gratuitous nudity in this podcast. This week, we're investigating why my name is Hangelo when I write it with my left hand, why a potent drug is a legal high that we use every day, and we have a visit from a real-life Batman, who, for copyright reasons, will not be referencing Batman. Let's get on with the show.
Hannah, my obsession with you is getting so bad that I can't even think about you unless I stay up all night. What's up?
Yes, if you think about me past 8 p.m, then terrible things will happen
to
your relationship.
My heart gets all jittery.
kind of inspired by Alex's section last week on tea, I thought I would do caffeine.
And apparently tea has more caffeine than coffee.
I have heard that, yes, although I did not verify for this podcast, because that's not what this is about.
You're coming here for verified facts, then you can go fuck yourself.
We don't deal in facts. Yeah, it's really easy to forget that caffeine is a drug, technically, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We're all just fine with taking it all the time.
Daily use, fine. Like, if someone took paracetamol every day, you'd be like, oh, that's a bit weird.
My ex used to do that. Function? Yeah, he used to get up and take 2 paracetamol.
Oh, that's weird.
So weird. Doesn't it even do anything if you're not in pain?
Yeah. I'm a tea drinker. I find that whether it's psychosomatic or not, when I get up in the morning and I haven't had a cup of tea and it gets to sort of like 11-ish, I'm like, something's wrong.
Yeah, it's a bit like with sugar, isn't it? Is that we're all like low-key addicted to this thing and it's so ingrained into our everyday, we don't even think about it.
Yeah.
And then there's all that kind of stuff that's like, you know, don't talk to me unless I've had my coffee or caffeine or whatever. It's like if you had someone like, don't talk to me unless I've had my heroin, like a whole different message. And even if you said to someone like, don't talk to me unless I've had my cigarette, it's kind of a whole, kind of a slightly grimier image as well, isn't
exactly.
it?
It's just bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like this complete cultural acceptance of like, yeah, we all take this thing to improve our performance. Yeah. We're all on performance enhancing drugs.
How much coffee or tea can you drink in a day before you get the weird caffeine jitters?
Oh, I think maybe 3 coffees max.
On my 4th cup of tea, I start to get like that.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, because the other day I had 1 tea and 2 coffees and my heart was racing and I like couldn't focus on anything and I was just sitting there like, for the whole afternoon. Yeah. It was horrible. And it's like, that's an overdose.
I'm just mildly
overdosed on caffeine.
I don't like coffee, but I was out on New Year this year and I was like, I'm not tired or anything, but you know, I'm 30 now. I'm not going to party till like 6 a.m. or whatever. So in the hotel before I went out, my friend was like, I know you don't like coffee, but why don't you have an espresso martini? It's like partied like the exact right amount, like went home about 2:30. Lovely time.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it's psychosomatic though, because you have this thing of like, right, I'm going to have my espresso martini, then I will be awake. And then it kind of like...
Maybe.
Yeah, because it is quite subtle as well, isn't it? Like the effect that you get from it, it could be physical, but it could be that you just expect a physical effect.
know what you mean, but because I'm not a coffee drinker, I think it did have an effect. Because I never, ever, ever drink coffee. So
well,
I think...
it does affect you differently depending on how much you tend to drink it. Because you kind of get used to how much you drink. And actually, also, I found out it affects different people very differently. And it can affect you differently depending on whether or not you're on the oral contraceptive pill.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Thing is just so fucking archaic, isn't it?
I know.
God, yeah.
The amount of stuff it affects, like, it's going to be illegal in, like, 50 years.
Yeah, definitely.
And, like, our grandkids are going to be asking us about, like, oh, you're on the pill?
Yeah. We'll be like, shut up!
I can't hear anymore! Because of the pill.
Apparently, smokers process caffeine twice as quickly as non-smokers. And yeah, women taking birth control pills metabolise it at one-third of the rate that women not on the pill do. Isn't that crazy?
That's so weird. My hairdresser also told me that if you're on your period, if you bleach your hair, it hurts more when you're on your period than when you're not.
Yeah, and you shouldn't get a wax when you're on your period. Because apparently it hurts more. But
you're just a little crying baby when you're on your period, aren't you?
Yeah. Don't touch me, but also fondle my boobs.
There's a couple of different theories of like how the mechanism of caffeine actually works. And the most prominent, this is from Wikipedia, is that it reversibly blocks the action of adenosine, I don't know, on its receptor and prevents the onset of drowsiness induced by adenosine.
That sounds like what John Travolta called Idina Menzel.
Adeltazine.
My favourite moment from any awards show ever.
Yeah.
Adeltazine.
If anyone's
so confident.
Not seen that, please Google it.
Yeah, John Travolta, Idina Menzel, please do it.
Basically, could any humans live their life just these days just by like drinking water and eating fish and vegetables and be awake for the amount of time that we're supposed to be awake?
Yeah. In terms of like, yeah, could they have like a normal, like a London life of like a fucking 11-hour work day and then a 5-hour social life after it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously, if you're a monk and you live in Tibet, fine, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
But like,
yeah.
If you had to live like literally this horrible life that we've chosen.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. You probably have to have all those energy juices, which are always just sugar. It's like, oh, but it's carrots. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No. That's sugar.
It's a bit like all the wellness bloggers are mad into dates now.
Yeah.
And like, that's just sugar.
That's
like,
just
it's,
sugar.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It really is.
It's all from the earth.
A big side effect of caffeine for me, if I have too much caffeine in the morning especially, I get caffeine poos.
Oh, yeah. I'm brewing one right now.
Are you?
I have a little can of Coke here and I can feel the bubbles in my bum. Yeah.
But again, it's crazy that like, that's quite a big side effect.
I don't really get that with, I don't know, I don't really get that, but I only drink tea, so.
I don't know, to be honest, everything gives me the shits.
Oh, does it?
I mean,
exactly.
Sometimes when I'm constipated, I just imagine that Gavin's cheating on me, and then the anxiety gives me the poos.
Oh. You can get powdered caffeine, which is interesting. Ooh. I don't really know what it's used for.
Is that those pills, what are those stupid pills that people use when they're doing an exam?
Oh, so
like, just caffeine pills.
Is it Pro Adderall?
Plus.
Yeah.
Adderall is like the American one, which can probably kill you if you take two of them.
Yeah.
But you can like get them in a boots over there.
And if you do get hold of powdered caffeine for whatever reason, you have to have about a tablespoon in order to like properly overdose, because it's really, really strong. And in normal, in like, you know, if you consume caffeine from teas and coffees, you would have to have like somewhere between 30 and 50 cups in a very short period of time, and then like the symptoms you would get would be like vomiting, abdominal pain, altered consciousness, and seizures. And death by caffeine, this is from an article on Vox, is typically caused by ventricular fibrillation. So it's like a rapid and irregular heartbeat that disturbs the blood flow and kills you, basically.
They do often say that if you're suffering from any kind of an anxiety disorder, like one of the first things you should do is look at your caffeine intake, because it completely agitates any of those symptoms.
Yeah. If I'm feeling like a tiny bit anxious and then I, you know, just have my normal, I usually probably have 2 cups of tea a day.
Yeah.
But if I'm feeling a bit anxious anyway, then I have 2 cups of tea, I'm like, why am I feeling so... And then I'm like, oh, it's because I've had...
Why am I afraid of everyone?
Yeah. It's because I've had caffeine. Yeah.
But a little bit of caffeine, apparently like, you know, 2 cups a day or something, could have some health benefits, they've found. And yeah, obviously people have been kind of consuming caffeine from cocoa beans or tea or coffee for ages and ages and ages. But caffeine was first kind of discovered as its own thing in 1819 by a German chemist called Friedlieb Ferdinand Runge. Or Runge, maybe.
Runge.
So he isolated pure caffeine for the first time ever and called it Kaffeebase. like the coffee base.
Oh,
nice. And then in 1821, it was isolated by a French chemist at another separate French chemist. And now everyone's sort of like, who invented it first? We discovered it independently of you.
Well, we've all been drinking it since like 2000 years BC, so fuck them both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, you found it, but it's been
around for ages.
You've
given it a name, yeah.
Yeah, and people probably would have known. They probably would have noticed that it gave them a little boost as well. Because, I mean, it is a stimulant. That's what it does. It stimulates you and makes you feel less drowsy, like we said.
What's your favourite form of caffeine?
Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on a month ban of Diet Coke, and that Coke in my fridge is going to be a sweet, sweet hit on the 21st of June, the day of our event, in fact.
Ah, the day of our live event, of course.
If any of you didn't know, we have a live event coming up at Waterstones, Tottenham Court Road.
My favourite form of caffeine is those strange Swedish balls, and I can't remember what they're called.
Fika balls!
Fika balls. Swedish people often eat them at fika time, which is like tea time, 4 p.m. And they're just, I don't even know what really they're made of, but they're like coffee-flavoured soft balls, and they're covered in coconut or whatever. Mm.
They're real good.
If you have one of those and a coffee, you'll be, you know,
buzzing,
jumping off the walls. What about you?
Oh, me? A black coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Milk and coffee gives me the shits also. Things that give me the shits.
And now it's time for our newest segment, Women with Dough. We're women with dough, 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 dough.
Unfortunately, we don't have enough money to pay Harry to make us a
women with dough jingle.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we're women without dough. But for that, we have Richard Danu.
That's right. If you haven't listened recently, we do have this new segment. It's called Women with Dough, and it's not a baking section.
No.
No. It is money advice on something finance related every other week from our resident expert, Richard Danu.
Resident who's actually never taken up residence in our studio.
I know, and
proved his physical existence.
Look, I'm really sorry, but yet again, Richard sadly couldn't make it tonight. People are going to start thinking he's not real.
People are going to start thinking that you're pulling a Mrs. Doubtfire to get close to your kids.
I know. Who I'm not allowed to see anymore. Sadly, this week he's trying to take down Bitcoin from the inside because he didn't believe it was a thing, so he didn't invest in it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he's probably down knee-deep in code in a mine in China right now. God love him.
Well, best of luck to him.
I know, best of luck, Richard,
the
who
Bitcoin
is...
Bitcoin mines.
Yeah, he will, of course, be listening. He never misses an episode.
I've heard.
Luckily, I do have a direct line to Richard, and this week he was emphatic on teaching us the lesson of how to make a bit of extra cash from selling everything you own.
Oh, good.
And this was sort of inspired actually by you, Caroline, who was saying...
Me?
You do know him, but not as well as myself.
He does troll me on Twitter occasionally,
yes. Of course, yeah. Because you recently just were going to give away everything you own for free because you were moving flats.
Yeah, no, I couldn't be arsed with actually moving my stuff from one place to the other.
Sure.
So I gave away, like, I'm going to say 60% of my things for free.
Wow.
That's pretty good. But, you know, I can't see Richard Danu ever advocating to give something away for free.
I was literally about to say he was very disappointed.
Yeah.
Well, actually, so... We gave some of our books to our local pub, and now when we go in there, sometimes they give us free cheese puffs.
Oh, wow.
So it's not...
It's kind of a roundabout way to...
Yeah. Sort of like a bartering system of old.
And those cheese puffs are like 60 quid a pop, aren't they? So really you are saving quite a lot of cash.
To be honest, it was one time and they were throwing them out, so they just... That was it, yeah.
Well, Richard Danu was trying to tell me the ways that you can sell things for money. And coincidentally, lads, I've recently been doing that. It's almost like that inspired my Richard Danu's segment.
You're really on the same wavelength as him.
I know, we really are.
Soulmates.
I recently was... Richard Danu was saying that he recently discovered Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right.
Which is dreamy. You don't have any bids or any of that crap. And it's great. People just message you. They're like, yeah, cool. I'll bring the cash. Like, meet you here. Perfect.
Great.
Rather than eBay, who charges you through the nose, Richard Danu says, and, you know, takes a cut and, like, you might not even sell it and you have to wait 7 days for it to not sell. And
then
they
review you?
Yeah.
And they might be like, she had a smelly house.
Exactly. Which I do.
Fuck that.
Richard Danu's top tip is use Facebook Marketplace.
One thing I would add to that as well is you'd be very surprised what you can actually sell. Like, I sold one of those paper-covered lamps. Absolutely horrible. It was in the flat when we moved in.
What were the IKEA ones?
Maybe really? Not even that. Like, it was, yeah, it was bad. And it had holes in the paper bit, so it was really useless, and they'd been covered over with tape. Sold it for a fiver.
What? Where?
Wow.
I think someone just wanted to, like, do it up and make it nice.
God.
Oh, well, Richard and you would be very proud of you for that.
Thank you.
Fleecing people Richard. For a fiver.
Here's the thing I've learned over the years as well, is that if you say you're giving something away for free, nobody takes it. But if you say if you're giving away a couch for a fiver, they're like, wow, what a great deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I had some old hanging baskets the other day, and I live right next to Columbia Road Flower Market, and next week I'm just going to put them on the top of my wheelie bin and put like a little pouch saying £2 for a hanging basket and just probably make £8 for doing nothing.
Great.
So that's the other tip from Richard. On the street, you can sell your things.
Oh, yeah.
And like you say, if you do sort of an honesty box, you'll actually get more than if you put
really?
Like... Yeah. There's a lot of honesty bars and stuff, like, because you... You do feel bad, turns out, a lot of people. Richard and you wouldn't. He would just take it for free.
Yeah, he would. Mm.
And so, yeah, so I just thought, why don't we make a little list of things that we could sell that we no longer need, like two-seater sofas, because everyone's alone now. Like, I think sex is abolished, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sex is gone. We only have beanbags now.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, buy a beanbag by selling your two-seater sofa. Living rooms, we don't need them anymore.
No!
So you can totally sell your living room on eBay. White bread. Don't need that anymore.
No, sell that.
Sell all of your white bread. And lip liner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that. So be selling all that.
Who would you sell that to?
Yeah, like your mum's generation, you know?
Oh, yeah. A little bit of brown lip liner
there. Moira Stewart. You know, she'll be up for it.
Wonderful.
Great. So, yeah, anything else that you think we don't need that we can sell?
I haven't given a handy in years.
Oh, yeah, definitely sell your hand jobs, yeah.
I don't think it would even bother me either. I think it would just be almost a novelty, do you know what I mean?
Like when that's the thing. Although, if you wanted to get back, you wouldn't be able to find one because they're so bloody rare these days.
I know, yeah. I think I could get, like, as a vintage purchase, I could sort of sell one for about 35 quid, kind of thing.
It'll come round again, won't it, with the hipsters?
Yeah, it will. Yeah. Same with, you know, how vinyl is back. Hand jobs are coming back.
Totally,
record players and hand shandies.
Yeah.
That's the name of your new album. 69s as well.
69s, definitely. I was going to say ironing as well. No one irons anything anymore.
Oh, God, yes. Sell your ironing, totally.
There's
sell your ironing.
Like so metal ironing. And intricate machinery in there, which I'm sure you could melt down for parts.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I've tried buying a lot of like shirts lately because I think I'm a professional woman, but I'm not.
No.
And whenever I iron them, I'm like, I am not good at this.
No.
Like,
and it's like it's minutes of your life that you just don't get back.
And you always seem to have to go over the bit that you feel like you've just done.
Yeah. I haven't ironed ever, really. For a woman who code mixer, like, I always iron my ball gown. But that's about it. So yeah, Richard and you, always sell for money. Don't be charitable, Caroline. And well done, Hannah, for your £5 lamp.
Well done.
And, you know, get selling on all that stuff we don't need. So, Caroline, as we all know, you like to do all of your favourite things with two hands.
Is this the wanking joke?
Yeah, as in, like, you like to do all your favourite things with both hands.
Oh, do you wank with two hands?
No, but I was just making the joke.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you're just backtracking now.
But you can only do your actual profession, writing, with your right hand, as can I. Why is this? Is there some sort of curse?
It's very confusing, isn't it? Like, because in the animal kingdom, it's like basically a 50-50 thing of whether they use their right paw or left paw or whatever.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do animals have a preferred hand?
No, that's what she's saying.
Yeah, no, it's if you ask like a dog to do the paw or whatever, or like, you know, a dog uses anything
you
with its paws.
You don't mean it's 50-50 per dog. You mean it's 50-50 per dog's hand.
50-50 chance that it will do left or right.
It's like half of dogs are left-handed.
Half of dogs are left-handed?
I wondered why you were so like flabbergasted.
Shocked. I was like, okay, Hannah.
Excuse me?
So 1 in 10 people on average are left-handed, but animals don't tend to have a preference at all, except for chimps, who tend to throw poo with their right hands.
Yay!
I know.
So do I.
Yeah,
that's so weird.
It's not as like a high ratio as it is with humans, but yeah, it tends to be with their right hand. Huh. So like, where does this come from? And also, there's like this weird cultural thing about left-handed people, like. 9 times out of 10, when someone tells me they're left-handed, I kind of look at them and I squint and I go, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a bit like when someone tells you they're an only child.
Yeah.
You're like, ah, yeah, that fits.
I think we owe a lot of that stereotype to Ned Flanders.
Really?
Mm.
Are you left-handed, Hannah?
No.
You seem like a lefty.
I thought you were going to be a lefty.
Really?
Yeah, you do seem like a lefty.
See, apparently, I'm a little bit offended by that, which is weird, because why would I be offended
by
that? Yeah,
because there is a cultural sort of stereotype or something.
It's because they smudge the writing, isn't it?
I always think that everyone I know who's left-handed, like they're all very different from one another, but they tend to have a slightly, you know, they kind of party in the margins a little bit. Their personalities are always like slightly different to everybody else I know, you know?
Yeah, and the rumour is that if you're left-handed, you're always artistic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because the left-hand side of the brain is supposedly more artistic.
Well, apparently that is bollocks.
But like, why are way more people right-handed? What's the reason for that?
Well, there are, it's one of those things where like there are tons of theories but nobody quite knows.
Oh, right.
But I mean, to boil it down to really simple things, it's like, The brain is kind of cross-wired, right? So your left-hand side of your brain deals with the right-hand side of your body and vice versa, which is kind of confusing.
Oh, right.
What the theory is that the left-hand side of the brain was like dealing with things like foraging, survival, defense, that kind of thing, all those sort of really practical things. And so because that left-hand side of your brain was more, you're working on that skill set, it naturally funneled into your right hand.
Oh, okay.
Right? So like, if you're looking for food or defending yourself or whatever, it makes sense that your right hand would take that dependency.
Yeah,
whereas your left hand, the left side of your brain was more focused on, you know, like knowledge and like stealth and seeing whether there's an enemy approaching or whatever. So it's a bit more stationary skills. Like this is very, this is not that substantiated. It's just the best theory they have so far. But there are lots of different theories. But what's really funny is that like over the years, there's like sort of a weird stigma been associated with left-handed people. Like I think everyone's heard those stories about like nuns forcing left-handed kids not to write with their left hand, right?
Yeah, that's so sad, isn't it?
That's weird.
It's really, really sad. Yeah. And I think part of that is because the world is set up for right-handed people. Like in like even, you know, notepads or scissors, or we've all seen that episode of The Simpsons.
Oh my god, yeah, because notepads open like that.
Yeah, so you're basically destined to smudge.
Notepad action.
Yeah,
because you have to write over your writing.
Yeah, and so you end up smudging. And so I think part of it is, you know, nuns, Catholic Church, whatever, they just want everyone to be the same. They want everything to be uniform. And also part of it is that there's always been this sort of historical cultural association with the left as being bad. So the word sinister comes from the Italian word sinistra, which means left. Yeah. According to some studies, life expectancy is lower for lefties. So lefties die sooner.
Really?
That's one I wouldn't have expected at all.
Right? I guess you just give up because you're like, oh, I'm so sick of this world that isn't made for me.
Why can't I just cut up some wrapping paper with a pair of scissors?
And then if you think about it, even in our language, like right, why is that a synonym for correct or proper? Right?
And left, like left behind.
Left, there's like so many weird connotations that's like so baked in.
I mean, everything that we have basically moves from left to right.
Like even the genes in your body, like DNA, DNA helixes move right, they move clockwise, you know what I mean? Like everything in your body.
Even left-handed people.
Yeah. So but like nobody like quite knows why left-handed people happen, right? It's weird.
That is weird.
Because there's every reason for people to be right-handed, and even that like simple brain explanation I had before. But apparently...
Is it genetic?
It is genetic.
Ah.
It all comes down to genes. But it's not like wholly genetic. So if you have two right-handed parents, the chance of them producing a left-handed child is only 9%.
Oh.
And my brother is left-handed, both my parents are righty. So that's like, you know,
and it's weird how
improbable.
Like it just happens, because it's not learned, is it? It's like inherent.
Yeah. So they've sort of, over the years, they've tried to figure out what makes someone do that, but it's been isolated to this one gene called the PCSK6.
Catchy, of course.
Yeah, everyone's favourite. And so it's this this gene that sort of mutates in your brain, and it is also associated with people who are dyslexic.
Wow.
And no one knows why, but a lot of people I know who are left-handed also have dyslexia.
That's
because they get things
though,
the wrong way round.
Yeah, but like if you think that probably the way we write is designed and the way we teach how to write is probably designed for right hands more than left hands, then that's not really surprising, right? That if you're trying to write a letter with your left hand.
Or even like books, if you think about reading, like everything flows left to right.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's more left-handed people in countries where they write in Arabic, because I think they write right to left.
Yeah. But then in those countries, the left hand is associated with dirtiness because it's you, because you use your right hand to eat.
That's true.
And your left hand is for toilet matters in many of those countries.
If you asked me to put a tampon in with my left hand, though, couldn't.
Oh.
I can do fuck all with my left hand.
Would I? Oh my God, what a great test. Everyone, next time you change your tampon, see if you can do it with your left hand. Or if you are left-handed, with your right hand.
Hmm.
You kind of do need two hands because you need to unwrap it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to put it in.
I know, I'm on one of those those horrible blue ones with the weird translucent thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're so weird.
Like plasticky.
Yeah, they're the only ones in the chemist near me, I don't know.
Could you give a hand job with your left hand?
Oh, shit one. But then they're all shit, so...
You sold them in Women with Dough, actually, so you don't have them left.
Hey, dummies! This is a very special dumb announcement that, in celebration of Caroline's debut novel, Promising Young Women, and our first birthday, we're having a live show!
Oh, amazing! Okay, we should call it, like, a cool crossover name, like Caroline's Stupid Novel or Dumb Caroline Book.
Or Promising Dumb Women?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, if you like shit names.
Well, either way, some dummy at Waterstones, Tottenham Court Road, decided to host our live show on the 21st of June 2018. And you can come! Find out how to get tickets from our Twitter or Facebook at dumbwomenpod. Or email us, dumbwomenpod@gmail.com, for details.
Please come. I've worked very hard on my book.
It is very good. I have read it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So guys, for my section this week, I have a very special treat for us all. I have a man who...
What is that? Like a light projected onto the ceiling? The shape of a large bird? Do we have Bird Man?
Oh, sorry, hang on. My bad. Let me just change the slide there.
Oh, a bat! Batman! Batman's here.
Yes, we have the Batman, Caroline. We have our third man ever on here, so it's becoming a bit like a mock the week for men. And soon there'll be two on here in one show in 11 years' time, of course.
Not on my watch, man. I will sooner resign.
We've got a bat conservation expert and stand-up comedian, Roddy Shaw. Hi, Roddy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. It's quite the mantle you've just put on my shoulders there.
Which Batman mantle. Did you play? Were you the Batman with Jack Nicholson or the Batman with Morgan Freeman?
I was the one way back, the Adam West one.
Oh, oh wow. Yeah. Classic.
God, Batman, you're looking classic. Good for your age.
Yeah. With the eyebrows drawn onto the kind of whatever material mask thing he had.
Amazing.
The real classic.
Can you do us an Adam West impression?
No.
Fine.
So, Roddy, what's a bat?
Excellent question. So they are they're the only mammal capable of powered flight.
What do you mean by powered flight?
What about birds? Are they not mammals?
No. Not a mammal, Hannah.
Because they're birds.
I need to go back to my GCSEs.
So there are things like sort of ironically called flying squirrels, which can't actually fly. There are things that can glide, that can jump off trees and sort of parachute their way down. Bats are the only thing that can go up on their own, sort of. Everything else can fall with style.
Okay.
Toy Story style.
yeah.
Okay, bats are the only thing which can go up of their own
power. Oh, aren't they clever?
So they're great, yeah.
Remind me, what are the kind of trappings of a mammal? Is that you can feed your own babies, right?
Yeah.
That's the main deal.
That's the main one, yeah.
So they have milk.
You can milk a bat and it can fly.
Yeah.
You can milk a bat.
Yeah, you could. You'd have to really...
Be honest.
Want to.
Toys are in there, yeah, and want to, exactly. Yeah.
Have you ever milked a bat?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, sounds like you've had some drunken nights in
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, have you ever had like a baby bat whose maybe their mother died and you had to create like a fake bat nipple in order for them to be maybe out of your finger.
Wrap it up in a tiny flannel.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like the Robert De Niro fake boob in what was it, Meet the Parents?
Oh, Meet the Fockers.
Or the secret. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
So have you worn a bat boob?
I haven't worn a tiny bat titty. No.
So what, Roddy, what is your actual job?
So my job is, here in the UK, there are 18 species of bats. All of them are protected. They live in houses and stuff like that.
Do they?
Yep.
That's where all the council houses are going.
And if anyone finds one, they call me. And,
and then does the silhouette appear?
Yeah, in the sky. and building work stop.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Why are they so protected? Are they endangered?
So there's sort of two things. Yeah, their numbers have been going down sort of historically in a sense, because as we've been developing our urban world, we've obviously been knocking down the kind of natural one sort of thing. Yeah, famously.
Volume 408.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's that, but also they're really interesting indicators of their environment because they're extremely fragile little creatures. I mean, the biggest one we've got, if you lay your hand out flat in front of you, the biggest one in Britain would just cover the four fingers on your hand.
Really?
And the smallest...
Including wings? Cute.
No, that's like wings folded up, kind of lying with its head there, head on your finger on your left. And your tail on the one on the right.
Unextended.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the smallest one, which is the most common, would only cover the two fingers from head to tail lying across them. So
cute! That's so cute. Would you say they're cute?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, not that I'm biased or anything, but yeah.
So do you get much one-on-one experience with the bats?
Not in what I'm doing at the moment, because I'm doing this kind of much more people side thing of when people find it, they call me and I organise the bat to be cared for.
I see.
Sort of thing. But there's a network across the country of 100 and something plus, maybe close to 200 sort of volunteers who care for bats. So I have gone out to visit like a bat hospital, which was just this lady... It was just this lady who lived in a proper, like, Snow White cottage. You had to go through a forest, and then you came out, and she had this converted, all these converted rooms with just bats that she was rehabilitating, because they live for about 30 years.
Do they?
What?
Yeah, tiny, tiny bats that we have. People have this idea that they're these flying mice, and they sort of chew through your walls, and they, all the rest. But they live for 30 years. They have one baby a year. They care for it, because they have to teach it how to fly. So some of the orphan ones that she's had, because they've basically never had their mum to teach them how to fly, they don't know how to fly.
And she's definitely got a fake bat teat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If anyone does, it's her. But, yeah, so there's people all up and down the country who completely self-fund, volunteer, put in their own time. And she was saying, so at the moment we've just started their maternity season. So the other day I think we had the first call of a baby pup born in Britain.
Oh, they're called pups?
They're called little baby pups, yeah. And when they're born, they're about the size of a 50 pence piece.
Oh, God, I want a baby bat for a pet.
If that. And so they're just all having their babies now. And she was saying that at the peak of the season, so around July when they're all having it, for the whole of the thing she'll get about 5 hours sleep a night.
Wow.
And this woman's in her... 70s or 80s?
Shit.
She's an absolute hero. She's just given
fucking
everything
love
to the bats.
Bats.
Yeah.
How's her Adam West impression?
Pretty good. Her Christian Bale is exceptional. So my job isn't quite as hands-on with the bats, but I organise the getting them to the care and all the rest. So as to why they're protected, because they're so delicate in the sense that they need really specific conditions, like they need to have just the right temperature to kind of roost. They need a month for insects and all the rest.
Like Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Yeah. As she goes off to her roost in the winter months to then reappear.
She so
anew.
Is a bat, isn't she?
She is a bat. She's also very delicate, as per her song.
Yeah.
Same name. So maybe the government would be interested in her as well, because they can help tell you how healthy the environment is.
Oh.
Because they're so... Because if you think about it, pigeons can live everywhere with or without their own limbs, practically. Yeah. Okay. Oh. They don't even need feet to get by.
I bet there's no pigeon conservationists.
No, exactly, right? So they tell you nothing about the state of the place.
Yeah.
But because bats are so delicate, it's the equivalent of almost like taking your temperature when you're sick. It's like the first thing your doctor does to work out how healthy you are.
Right.
Check your temperature, because if there's anything wrong with you, that's going to change first. So if you've got these really delicate animals which need really specific countryside, healthy environment sort of thing, you look after them, they can tell you how good everything is. So if they start plummeting, you're like, right, something's happening that we need to look into.
And then the secret community of bat people assemble.
Led by Taylor Swift.
Led by Taylor Swift, yeah.
Who is herself a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is quite ironic for someone whose last name is a bird. But
So what's the, what's the biggest bat? You said in the UK we've got 18 species, but what's the biggest bat in the world?
I think it's either the Philippines fruit bat or the one in Madagascar, which might be called the golden something fruit bat, but its wingspan's about 6 feet.
That's taller than us, but not you.
Yeah.
You're a tall man.
Yeah.
Roddy is a tall man.
A tall man, yeah. So if it was sideways, wings out, it would reach like... I don't know, my nose, my eye, something like that.
Oh, that's horrible.
Should we do a bat lightning round where you just like, we'll do all our questions and then you can just do like two word answers?
We'll see what I can get into two words. Yeah.
Okay, this won't be two words. This
okay.
What's the association with vampires? Is it just the vampire bat? What came first?
So the vampire bat was discovered after we'd created vampire, which is insane because we came up with a myth and nature had already invented it.
No. Good lightning round.
Lightning round. Okay, could I have a bat as a pet?
No.
Good lightning round. Are bats monogamous?
I don't know, but they mate in the autumn and the female keeps the sperm inside of her for all of winter and ovulates in spring when it's warm, and that's when she fertilizes herself. So there's my answer on bat sex.
Too many jokes.
Too many jokes.
Are they soft to touch or are they wiry?
Very, and they purr.
They purr.
So why can't they be a pet?
Because you have to spend your days pulling heads off mealworms to feed them.
Oh, you'd do that anyway.
I'd do that.
Caroline has a dog, that's the same.
Yeah, that's what you do, just leave her mealworms into her bowl.
Yeah. If I was to run into the world's biggest bat, would he...
How could I chat it up?
Would he, like, attack me or would he be scared of me?
He'd be scared of you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that just but me you specifically?
But that was my question. So what should, like, the average listener, if they find a bat in their home, what should they do?
Call the National Bat Helpline.
Text Roddy.
And get through to Roddy.
Yeah.
But like, if that's not really an option, if they're like out in nowhere.
So if it's flying in your house and it's flying really well, you know, it's just coming through an open window, a bit lost, close the door for the room it's in, turn the light off, open the window. This is going to happen at night because that's when they're flying around.
Right.
And it will find its way and leave.
Okay.
If it's been caught by a cat or something like that, or it's seen walking around on the floor, because they can crawl when they're on the floor.
Yeah, they kind of walk around like they're on stilts or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, why are they on weird elbows?
So the bit that they walk on is their thumb, so they kind of walk like that, because all of their fingers fold up for their wing.
Oh,
and so they walk on their, essentially they walk on their wrist.
Hmm. And they have feet too, right?
Yep.
Because that's what they hang off.
Yep.
And they do sleep upside down?
So there's 18 in the UK. Two of the ones we have do the proper traditional hang by the feet, wings round, like Hollywood kind of bat thing.
Okay.
The other 16 sort of land and like crawl into crevices, but they sort of orientate themselves upside down. But
Sorry, so to get back to that question, if you find a bat that's walking around on its thumbs, what do you do? Do you like pick it up and put it in your pocket?
No.
Definitely not.
Get like a shoebox or something with a lid that you can contain it in. Pop a tea towel over it, wearing gloves just to avoid any bites and scratches. I'm now literally doing my job. Pick it up nice and gently, pop it in the shoebox, put the lid on it. Actually, before you put the lid on it, get a little like milk bottle top with a little bit of water, pop that in there. So the bat is nice and contained. It's cozy in its tea towel. It's got some water.
Right.
Call the National Bat Helpline.
And how fast will they have someone out to me?
Depends.
When this happens.
Yeah. Depends where you are.
Have you got a handy jingle for the Bat Helpline? Like, 0800 double 2 double 1 5.
No. Well, I'm trying to actually think what the number is now, but I never have to call it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm answering it.
You are
so
quite literally this is,
yeah, but if you Google Bat Conservation Trust, it will take you to where you need to be. Yeah.
I want to find a bat now. Find me a bat,
Don't
Caroline.
Go hunting for bats.
Track me a bat.
Well, thank you so much, Roddy. I'm going to be messaging you on Facebook Messenger tonight with more bat questions.
Do.
Because I know Roddy in real life.
Yes, she does.
For the people who don't know you in real life, where can they pester you online? Or find out about upcoming comedy gigs?
Yeah.
The best thing is probably, so myself and a friend have a podcast of our own. So it's called Missed Information. So that's got a Facebook page. You can go to there and there's that is the channel to see what's kicking off.
And that's Roddy Shaw, not as he was introduced at a gig recently, Roddy Doyle, the
novelist. Yes, yeah. Or Rowdy, as someone emailed me today at work.
Rowdy?
Yep, hi Rowdy. I was like, thanks.
Yes, he's not Rowdy Doyle, he is Roddy Shaw.
Yeah.
Thank you, Roddy.
You're welcome, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, ladies.
So guys, it's nearly the end of the episode, but we do have time for a smart lesson, where each week we just try and make ourselves a little bit smarter. And a big part of being smart, of course, is emotional intelligence.
Emotional labour, it's a woman's job.
Mm-hmm.
And that will never change.
And so if you've listened to the podcast over the last few weeks, we have developed an agony aunt section to increase our emotional intelligence. So Caroline, what's this week's question?
Well, as per usual, we're not really interested in the problems of our listeners or really getting involved in a very deep or meaningful way. So I just go through Reddit relationships to see which one I like the most and then I read it out. So here it comes. The headline is, I gave my pregnant friend a bunch of free stuff and now she's requesting the same items on her registry. So I think it's an American problem. It's very much about baby showers and gifting and babies.
Tell me they don't have a fucking registry for when they're having a kid.
Apparently they do.
What?
Fuck off!
Mm-hmm. It's very like that American culture of like, don't ask, don't get. Okay. I heard that a friend of a friend, whom I've hung out with less than 10 times, became surprise pregnant back in February. As I just had my last baby in the fall and he was outgrowing his infant stuff, I offered a ton of items up to the friend for free. Since then, I've been invited to her baby shower this weekend. I found her registry and all these things I gave her or attempted to give her are on it. I'm a little bummed out that she apparently didn't want what I gave her. I don't know her well enough to know her financial situation or family stuff. I also know not everyone is into hand-me-downs, but I asked her if she wanted all of it before I gave it to her. We're talking probably $250 to $300 worth of brand new stuff. Not that I care about the money, as that I would have donated most of it regardless. I was just trying to help a friend out. Am I being petty? Am I projecting and taking offense when there is none? Should I just forget it and keep my mouth shut, since it's none of my business what a person does with a gift after they've received it?
Oh, good one, though. I mean, yeah. I think I'd be offended, but again, you might just think, well, she might want two of everything, so she can wash less.
I suppose.
Oh, interesting, yeah. I was going to say, I think very badly of this friend who's received the gifts,
right?
Because they either like received them and then thought like, oh, this is nasty, like, and that's ungrateful, or they received them and like maybe sold them and I was asking for more.
Ooh,
like,
do you
what
think?
Happened? What happened to the gifts?
I certainly wouldn't invite her to the baby shower, especially if you've met her under 10 times. You could totally get away with not inviting her.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't invite her to a baby shower where a registry existed. It's kind of like, I've already given you all this stuff out of the goodness of my heart, and now you want me to spend money on you additionally?
Yeah,
like, that's mad.
You're both pricks. No, I'm joking. No, I think this woman, yeah, no, just maybe she just wants new stuff. Maybe yeah. she's, well, who has a registry of having a baby, for God's sake?
That does seem very, very crazy.
That's like, I've got pregnant, you pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as well, like, people generally, I mean, not always, this is very whatever, but like, people generally get married within, like, have a baby within getting married of a few, like, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So it means you've just paid to go to that person's wedding yeah. and probably gotten them a wedding gift. And now you're paying for the fucking baby as well. Like, I know it takes a village, but, like, does yeah. it really?
It's yeah. a surprise baby, though, which is interesting. But, yeah. You know, maybe it's, maybe the partner's not around or something.
So in the longer letter, it says that, like, this isn't just, like, clothes. This is, like a baby bath, like, all kind of, like...
Bottle
sterilizers, like proper practical useful stuff. Like if she didn't like the clothes, that'd be one thing. But like if she's rejecting like these sort of big kind of items,
practical stuff.
That, yeah, like, and then like... literally re-registering for them for her baby shower.
Yeah, yeah. She's a dick.
She's a dick, right?
That's expensive stuff.
So I think the main question here is like this person feels really pissed off, but doesn't really. They've hung out less than 10 times. Doesn't really feel good enough to like. Say it to the person. How do they get over it? How do they learn to put this behind them?
Don't go to the baby shower, yeah. first off. I guess you could talk to a mutual friend if you have any and be like, what the hell is that story all about?
Yeah. Spread some rumours about the baby being ugly. Yeah. Or not from the dad she says it's from.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very satisfying to spread a rumour.
Yeah, surprise baby.
And it almost
baby,
never
but...
comes back to you either.
Yeah, sure. Be like, I would never say that.
Yeah. Does that sound like me?
Yeah.
I gave you a baby bath for free. Why would I spread a rumour about you?
Yeah,
I'm
agreed.
Your friend.
I would probably confront them because I'm very bad at confrontation. But if I'd met them under 10 times, I wouldn't really care. So I would just say like, yeah. Oh, hey, I've just seen, like, thanks for inviting me. And if I've just seen your list, were those items not okay for you?
Yeah.
I just play quite oblivious.
I think if I was very rich, what I would do is I would buy her 10 items of everything on the registry and fill her house up with things that would make her feel remorse for the terrible things
wow.
she'd done.
Oh, wow. Yeah, just like, keep sending her more, like, diaper genies and stuff. Yeah,
there's your 10 baby baths. Like, enjoy all those 10 baths your baby's going to get every day.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, really... Oh, do you know what I do, actually? Oh, this is such a good idea. I love myself for it. I'd like, find the noisiest toys on the list.
Oh, yes.
And, like, buy 10 of those.
Yeah. Unless imagine if she was having twins. Now we just feel really bad.
I know, yeah.
Because now she just needs two of everything.
Or maybe she split up from her partner and they're having different houses, so she needs two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a.
But I feel like that detail would be in there. I prefer the funner one of buying her loads of noisy toys and making her life hell.
Yeah.
Hope your baby looks like a monkey.
Or you quickly undergo some medical training or ascertain some kind of midwifery uniform. Go into the hospital when she goes into labour, and then when the baby is born and they take it away to like wash it and stuff, swap it. Either swap it with another baby,
or with the monkey.
Yeah, or with the monkey, or just like give it to someone else and just be like, "That's the last time you cross me, bitch."
Give her 5 babies.
Yeah.
Be like,
oh, yeah. You like more than one of things? How about more than one baby?
Give her a baby that looks more, that's in like that room where all the babies are, that looks more like a guy that you've rumoured that she cheated on her husband with. So that.
Oh, that's a
very
long. How
are you
going
to source that?
Oh, I'll find a way, Caroline.
I love Alex. She can't even like have like 3 events in her diary and she's like, ugh, but no, a baby.
Yeah.
A baby switch up, that she will organise.
A baby swap. I gotcha. You need a baby swap in, call me.
Well, I feel like we've all exercised our emotional intelligence there and we're all smarter women for it.
I stole a baby.
And that's all we have time for this week. Thank you to Harry Harris for our jingles, Gavin Day for our logo, and Soho Radio Studios for the recording space. Thanks also to Roddy Shaw for coming in and telling us all about bats. If you want to hear more from Roddy, we'll be putting up a bonus episode with more bat facts from him this weekend.
Bat bonus round.
We'll be back with another episode next Tuesday, so until then, goodbye.
Au revoir.
Hello.
No, it's the wrong one.
Hola.
Yeah, that'll do.
Bats! One bat, 2 bat, 3 bat. I am a homosexual on a children's TV show.